See, joy, when you have joy, there's something else working in you that's working with your vision. To where you might be in a troublesome spot. You might be in a place of anguish. But when you have joy and peace working on the inside, you're able to see a different reality beyond those circumstances. The Holy Ghost will paint another picture for you. Y'all remember I told y'all I was at a dark place in my life? Just worst place, I felt like I'd been dropped in a pit, just surrounded by darkness. And the Holy Ghost came to my aid. He said, dry those eyes, because I'm in depression, I'm in sadness, I'm in gloom, you know, I got hurt feeling, everything. And when he said, dry those tears, wipe them tears away, he finna set me up now. Now, you can keep crying when he tell you to stop. I just can't stop. I just can't stop. Oh, Lord. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, shut up. Dry them eyes. When I did that, I said, okay, something happened, huh? And then he began to talk to me real gentle. He said, just because it's like that today don't mean it's going to be this way tomorrow. Doesn't mean it's going to be this way a week from now, or a month from now, or even a year from now. Don't think that what you're going through is permanent. He said, what you're going through ain't permanent. You trust me, and I'm going to bring you out. Then he showed me a light at the end of this tunnel. He used stuff that's familiar to you. So I saw way down the road a little speck of light, but it was heading toward me. And I said, there's light at the end of this tunnel. That means that this is temporary. Ain't going to last always, Donnie. Ain't going to last always. Now, I didn't understand back then all of that, what that meant to me. But as I grew in the Lord, he began to see it show you things, and you don't have full understanding of them. But then as you grow, then he started telling you things. But what he was telling me was the reason why the light was so small was because the victory wasn't going to come suddenly. If I'd have seen a big flash of light, that means I'm delivered right now. But because I saw a small light heading toward me getting bigger and bigger, then that meant that it was going to take some time. That this thing wasn't going to turn around overnight. All your trouble don't turn around overnight. But you know what? You make the changes right there on the spot that you change. So it don't matter what the trouble is. Amen. Amen. And when you got it like that, if it's something you really desire, you don't care how long it take. Amen. You didn't know you got it. Yeah. Then you walk by faith. Yeah. Yeah. And one day God turned it all around. Yeah. What was is no more. And you're standing with the Lord Jesus Christ by your side. Him standing up in you. Make that devil bow down. Hallelujah. And you put your foot on his neck. And then you cut it off. Yes. Means I won't, this adversity won't come up the second time. You ain't ever coming back again. And if I even sense you around, I know what to do. I know how to squash you. Because once the Lord tell you how to whoop somebody, you can whoop them forever. You know, if you ever known somebody, you know, if somebody can't stand an arm bar, then you just got to get them in the arm bar. The Lord will show you the devil's weakness in an area. No, he can't handle this right here. Put this on him. And every time, the result going to be the same because you're dealing with spiritual laws. Just like gravity. If I drop a penny a million times, how many times going to hit the ground? Why? Because we're dealing with a law. We see with the Lord, he teaches, he don't maybe don't call them laws to you, but when he gives you an instruction, he's getting you to operate by some law that he done established. That's going to guarantee victory for you. Amen.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. Johnny Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
didn't... At this earlier service, I had her to come to the pulpit to do her remarks because I said she speaks better when she's closest to me. And sure enough, as I left her down there at the announcement stand, she said something about you guys. And my deacons know that's one of my pet peeves. We don't bring that you guys in the church. You guys stay in the boardroom, you guys stay at work, you guys stay everywhere else but in the church. In the church, it's you brethren. It's either you brothers, or you sisters, or you brethren, which is a combination of brothers and sisters. If you get up here and say anything and holler, you guys, everything in me cringes because it suggests that you hadn't been taught proper church language, as they say. And I want you to know, we're brothers and sisters. We ain't guys and fellows out in the street. So for that, I had to correct it because one brother got up last Sunday and said, you guys, three times. And I say, he's going to pay for that. And so she got up today and said, you guys, I've not told her that. So she gets to get it publicly, but that's also to help the rest who comes up. Now I can freely say, if anybody get up else with that you guys business, I don't know what church you go to, who your pastor is, but he should have taught you we don't say guys in church. Amen? We got it? We understand it? You guys understand me? That's all right, we in church, we not out in the street. So I just wanted to throw that out parenthetically, because this is important. That's my role as pastor. It's not just to be here and just to preach to you, but to educate you, to equip you, to help you continue in this world, to be different, to be peculiar, to stand out, so people will know that you belong to the Most High God. Amen. God bless you. I'm not going to be but a few moments. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, stand to your feet. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for this wonderful opportunity to share your word. We bless you. We thank you. We glorify you for what you shall share with us this day. Now bless both your word and your people. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Our Reverend Robert Mays is going to be our reader today. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26.
Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses.
Amen. You may be seated. What a wonderful word to understand God's position on prayers being answered, power being granted, and the people of God walking in faith. This is a wonderful word because I think many of us wonder many times when we pray and our prayers aren't answered. Where did I miss it? Where did I miss God? I prayed according to the word. I said what thus said the word. I believed God. I did what he told me to do, and yet it appears that he's not answering me, or he has chosen not to answer me. And yet I believed. Now, this is the story that talks about the fig tree that Jesus cursed. And he cursed the tree one day and came back the next morning, and his disciples drew his attention to the tree, that it was cursed from its roots, and they marveled at it. And Jesus tells them in the 22nd verse of this 11th chapter, have faith in God. And when he tells them to have faith in God, he's making it clear to them that whatever you say, whether it's binding or loosening, whether it's speaking those things that be not as though they were, or whether or not you are coming against demonic powers, it all requires faith in operating the way that God wants us to operate. And then he goes on, and if you don't mind, read verse 23.
Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea.
Wait. Now, remember he just said, verse 22, have faith in who?
God.
In God. Now he's telling them that whoever says this, now he's talking about believers who are speaking by what?
Faith.
By faith. That they could speak to the mountain and continue.
Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass.
All right, hold it. Listen, who shall not doubt, but believe in his heart, that those things shall come to pass. Now Jesus is teaching this now. Now there's a reason why verse 25 and 26 follows 24 and 23. Because as he's teaching this, there is a direct conflict with what he just said and with us understanding the rest of the verses that follow this. Continue on.
He shall have whatsoever he saith.
All right. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now we shout on this part. Woo-hoo, ooh, gracious God, you're wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. I'll have what I say. Okay, read 24.
24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
All right. All right, listen at this. Therefore, whatever it is, whatever. He does not put limitations on you. It's according to your faith. What your faith can believe for. However high your faith extends, whatever ability you have trusted God for, whatever the thing it is that you speak out of your mouth, listen, there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. Nothing too. Say, read it again. Read 24 again.
Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire.
Right there. What things, what?
Soever.
Soever, what ye desire. Now, he's making it clear. I'm not putting limitations on you. The question is, are you putting limitations on? All right, continue on.
When you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them.
All right. Now, you again, he's just reinforcing what he said as well in verse 23. Now, let's move on to verse 25.
Read it?
Read.
And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Okay. Read.
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
All right. Now listen at this. Now, the game changer comes in verse 25. When ye stand, pray, forgive. First thing I need you to see is the position of prayer. Why is that so important, especially in the Eastern culture? Because I want you to see what Jesus is addressing. The position of prayer, when you stand, had to do with three things, basically. One, it suggests that it was public prayer. Not only was it public prayer, because in the public, when you prayed, many folk prayed at certain walls, many persons prayed in the synagogue, many persons even prayed on street corners. As you remember the story about the publican and the Pharisee, the publican who was a sinner, wouldn't even lift his eyes up. He humbled himself, bowed his head, beat on his chest, and asked God to have mercy upon him, a sinner. The Pharisee stood up erect and said, God, I thank you, I'm not as this sinner. And he started talking about all the things that that man wasn't and all the things that he didn't do like this man. And he lifted himself up in pride. And so he stood and proclaimed that, which was one of the public displays of your piety. And so when you stand in public, it is to be seen. When you speak loudly, it is to be heard, and it is to declare personal things about yourself in your prayer. But also, when you stand publicly, even whether it's personal or if it is intended only for public, there is thirdly a protocol that you are to follow when you stand and you pray. And that's what Jesus was dealing with when he talked about when you stand, pray. He says the next word, do what? Forgive. Now, we'd be all right if he wouldn't have said that. Forgive messes up verse 24 and verse 23 and even verse 22. Because when we don't forgive, it ushers in a whole new level of reality for us now. We talked about, listen, the position in prayer, but now I want you to see the particulars of prayer. The particulars of prayer, here they are. It is to forgive. But then after he says forgive, he says if you have aught against any, which could be translated if you have aught against many, which could be translated in many other ways, but it literally means that you can't have unforgiveness in your heart for not one person. If you want God to hear you, I don't care how much faith you have, I don't care how much you believe what his word says. I don't care how much you name it and claim it, speak it and decree it. I don't care any of those things you like to say. If you do not forgive, it hinders everything you just told God. Now listen at the power of this now, because a whole lot of you don't have what you've been praying years for. Months for, weeks and days for, have never gotten an answer for, because of this one word, forgiveness. You have not been blessed like you want to be blessed, desire to be blessed, because of this word, forgive. You've not been promoted because of this word, forgive. You have not been given the accolades and accomplished the things that you want to because of this word, forgive. And then those who do forgive have certain folk they forgive. I forgive some, but I ain't gonna forgive all. We'll forgive certain people who can help us, but we won't forgive those who can't do nothing for us. We'll accept it came from my head, not my heart, if I got something that I want in your hand. But when somebody made a genuine mistake and said, forgive me, it was in my head, not my heart, you don't want to hear all of that. That's a bunch of foolishness and all the rest of that. I'm not going to forgive you. Well, my brother, my sister, Jesus is making clear that verse 24, all that you speak, verse 23, all that you believe will not come to pass if you don't forgive. Now, go back to where he says, if you have aught against any, and continue to read. But you done went to sleep. Yes, indeed.
And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass.
That you are forgiving others, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you. Now listen at this again, because this is important. See how the devil tried to put my reader out? I forgive him though. Now listen, the devil don't want you to know about this part of the word. Because if you know about this part of the word, then you can't use the other part of the word, believing and speaking and all the rest of that stuff, with any success when you know especially that the rest of this word follows. Now, you know, ignorance is bliss for some folk, but the true believer does not want to be ignorant. The true believer wants to know, what does the word of the Lord say about this? God says his people perish for lack of knowledge. You need to understand what God says. You need to get out of all of the tradition. You need to get out of all of the vain sayings, and you need to hear what thus saith the Lord. When I go to God in prayer and I want answers and I want him to hear my call and I want him to step up and do what he says, I've got to make sure I don't hold any animosity and any unforgiveness in my heart against anybody, my enemy included. I cannot say one thing to God and have any animosity and unforgiveness in my heart against anybody. God said, that's a conflict of whose you are. And we've got to understand that the enemy beats us not because we don't know what we ought to say and what we ought to believe, but the fact that we won't forgive. I've seen folk who could have been in higher places, blessed of God, anointed people who are blessed in more ways than some folk will ever be, but God won't lift them any higher because they hold unforgiveness in their hearts. And my brother, my sister, my heart cries out for that kind of person. Because one, it's a miserable place to be. What they don't realize, to hold unforgiveness in your heart means to hold whatever was the reason that made you feel like you wouldn't forgive them in your heart. That pain resides there. Whatever pain, whatever problem, whatever issue that started it there, instead of you releasing it by forgiving them, it now lives and like a cancer is eating you away on the inside. Certainly eating away at the promises of God for your life. Nobody is worth my blessings because I won't forgive them. Nobody is worth my blessings because I won't forgive them. Listen, it's important to understand, because the word says that the reason I'm forgiving them is that my heavenly Father will forgive me. And I promise you all day long that what I'm holding in my heart against somebody in unforgiveness don't even come close to the stuff God's got against me. Let me put it another way, because only a few of you got that. When I think about what I don't like that you did, and I won't forgive you for that, when I think about all the bad stuff I've done that God has seen and recorded, and if I don't forgive you of that one thing, he won't forgive me of those thousand things I've done. And it's not worth it. One thing that you've done set me off. And there are many things I've done to set God off. But when I forgive you, God forgives me. It's unequitable, because God can say, for every one person you forgive, that's one sin of yours I forgive. But when I forgive and truly forgive, it doesn't matter how many times and how many things I've done, God will forgive me, because that's his word. That's his word. Read 25 again.
Verse 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Now, these are the particulars of this prayer that hinders, verse 24, that hinders, verse 23, and that hinders every other prayer in life. Unforgiveness. Think about this. The next time you pray, I pray the Holy Ghost will convict you, will bring back to your remembrance, your conscious mind, about whomever it is you may have aught against. And that's important, because when you realize that whatever it is you have got, that aught really amounts up to naught. Let me say it another way. Whatever it is you have counted up as ought, to God, it's naught. It's not worth it. It is not worth it not to forgive them because of what you lose in the process. Listen, the devil wants you to be mad. That stops your blessing, not their blessing. Somebody upsets you, hurts you, do you wrong, says this, hurts your feelings, whatever the case, and whether they did it intentional or not, listen, they're going on with their lives. You see them next time, make me sick. You can be having a good time. They walk in the room, all your good time just walked out the door. What they doing here? Everything about that person and everything about them becomes magnified in your eyes, and that person then forgot they are even offended you, or forgot that you got an attitude, or at some point say, you know what, if they don't get over it, I've asked them to forgive me and they won't forgive me. Listen, they are